Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
Hey, you want big time football? The hits, the boom, the doink, the whack. It's all here. This is my game.
Seems only fitting that we find ourselves to have a little tribute to one John Madden, revolutionary coach. And wasn't much of a player, but one hell of a coach. You know, he's a Raiders Super Bowl championship winning coach and worked for all four networks, you know, all four major networks in the States, calling football, and just did it. I don't know, just did it in a way that was just, from what a lot of people that I've heard, you know, in the States over the last week or so since his passing, is he gave you analysis in layman's terms. Like, it wasn't a lot of stuff that would be confusing to, you know, sort of, to your fair weather fans.
For Madden, Madden had three stages, which is really weird considering he's obviously now passed at 85 years old. So he had, like you mentioned, the coaching career, which he did win Super Bowl champ for the Oakland Raiders and took him to so many successful years to the AFC Championship as well.
He's still the youngest ever Super Bowl winning coach. Yeah.
Every year. From 1969 up until they went in 1976, he was the first in the AFC West every year. That was his first career. Then he's then moved to, like you just said, to sportscasting. I know if you remember, but I know he was on all four networks, but his best one by far was the CBS when he was with Pat Summerall. Like, that Pat Summerall was extremely generic, and then him coming in over the top like he did with his color commentating was just awesome. It changed
I still liked him on NBC with Al Michaels, like, because I love Al Michaels.
Just,
so
I mean you're right, and I like Al Michaels too, but it was just getting close to that at retirement is what it was.
Al Michaels has done it across the networks as well. He's been on ESPN, he's been on NBC. He was also a great commentator in the short-lived basketball league that was getting around. No,
yeah, he was. but then he also
of his best commentary jobs.
Then he also had this also career in the video game. I talked to.
All he did was just lend his name to a video game, and it just shot into the stars.
And his voice, that's right. Through basketball, and like 20, 23 years old, and I said, what do you know about John Madden? And they said, the guy from the video games.
That's the guy from the video game.
That's awesome. That's what I mean, for him to still be. I just mean, like, you know, what a career.
He transcends generations. Like him, I've seen stuff, like heaps of stuff on SportsCenter and ESPN, like him on the Telestrator, you know, before the Telestrator was really a thing. And you actually watch, like, the old school ones. It's just, he's just got his little pen, and then he's actually got to push, like, little push buttons on top of the screen. That would have been so hard to use back in the day. Yeah, and also give your analysis on it, it looked crazy the way he was using the old school Telestrator with push buttons.
Yeah, yeah, phenomenal guy. I think it was just shy of his 85th birthday as well. So, just after his 85th birthday,
I think. Yeah.
We're going into week 16 of the NFL. The following scores are on Friday. The Titans beat the 49ers 20-17.
No more Friday games. Thank God for that.
No more officially. Officially, they'll be on Amazon next year too, by the way.
What does that mean for us, though? Like, those Friday games are on the NFL Network, but we still get them on ESPN here.
possibly, or we have to, or we get them through Amazon, like a streaming service, like all these other sports, like the local sports are doing here, the ones that are going to Stan and all those kind of ones. It's possible it's going to be on just Amazon. You have to have an Amazon subscription. So, but it's only one game. Then the Sunday games were the Packers beat the Browns 24-22. The Colts beat the Cardinals 22-16. The Falcons just beat the Lions 20-16.
Once again, the Lions are covering the spread. It's unbelievable.
And Falcons are now still somehow in playoff contention, and I don't get it, but they're still there. The Bengals smashed the Ravens 41-21. I mean, yeah, that game. Well, there's one person in that game, but we'll go through that later. The Rams beat the Vikings 30-23. The Bills beat the Pats. Big game for them as well, 33-21.
Well, wrestle control back of the AFC East.
Keeping my multi alive. The ones that's going to wreck it is Browns. But anyway, that's a different story for a different day.
That's all right. Seattle's totally destroyed mine.
The Jets beat the Jags 26-21. The Eagles
beat the
Giants.
I can't even cash out.
No, I can't cash out either. The Eagles, and I'm so close. The Eagles beat the Giants 34-10. The Bucks beat the Panthers 32-6. The Texans demolished the Chargers 41-29.
Brutal loss for the Chargers. Brutal.
Keeping the Texans, you know, out of the top two in the draft picks next year. But anyway.
What are they doing? We said this last week. What are these teams doing? Stop winning.
The Bears beat the team that's just so many questions. The Seahawks 25-24.
Oh my God.
The Chiefs are a route out, a stumbling Steelers 36-10. The Raiders beat the Broncos 17-13. My Cowboys absolutely just towed, especially in the first half. Washington 56-14. And
that was one of the funniest first halves I've ever seen. God. It's just, oh my God, like that. Just Washington just imploded as the game went on.
Literally on the bench.
Yeah,
too.
Literally on the bench. Every just imploded.
And then the Tuesday game was your Saints going down to the Dolphins 20-3.
One of the worst quarterback debuts I've seen in a while.
Well, let's go backwards because we mentioned a few of those games. So let's start at that game. It was a quarterback schmozzle for Ian Book, who wasn't like. Well, it wasn't the worst. Like, he's, I don't know. I still think there's something there.
There is something there, but he's been thrust into this role. Right. No Simeon, no Taysom Hill on the COVID list. It was always going to be that they need to not turn the ball over. He threw two interceptions. The Saints were without. Yeah, they're down two at the moment. They're seventh. Offensive tackle on the depth chart. They are just completely ruined up front. And there were so many times that the Miami pass rush just got straight by.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. He got blasted on so many occasions, but the kid just got back up and just shook it off. Like he didn't stay down or anything like that. He just got straight back up and went, okay. But, a real rough 90%. Initiation and first start for Ian Book. And look, the only positive I guess you can sort of take out of it is hopefully he can only get stronger from this. Like, you know, that he's not going to have, you wouldn't think, another game like this. Like, you just, yeah, anything is going to be easier than what he just played at the moment. And you know, the Miami pass rush, yeah, looked unstoppable. The Saints offensive line just had nothing. They could not stop him.
Yeah. No, it was. It was their offensive line that won it for Miami. Like, you know, to get sacked eight times, their offensive was okay. I mean, no more so than Jalen Waddle, of course. You know, 10 for 12 and 92 yards and that TD. For the most part, it was purely the Dolphins got there because they kept smashing. Unfortunately,
well, their drives, the Saints drives just went nowhere. Like they floundered and they faltered very quickly.
Yeah.
When you're a little bit one dimensional at the moment because you really don't want Ian Book airing the ball out too much, then you've got to try and rely on your rush. Mark Ingram didn't do much. You know, Kamara sort of only rushed 13 times, didn't do a whole lot. Couldn't really get him involved in the pass game. The Saints had like 20 players on the COVID list. So that's just a now modern problem. All teams will be dealing with. So it's no excuse. You've got to go out there and you've got to do your thing. The Saints, you know, while Tua wasn't terrific, but you could tell by the end of it that the Saints defense was just, they were gassed by the end of it. Absolutely gassed because they had to keep trotting back out onto the field, you know, after Ian Book would either get sacked or, you know, a three and out. It was unbelievable. Like the Saints only had like 7 first downs or something like that the whole game. So it was rather unpretty. But I was about to call them the Heat. The Dolphins are the only team in NFL history now to have lost 7 straight, and now they have won 7 straight.
Yeah, and they look.
While all you can do is just beat the teams that are in front of you,
They're beating mediocre teams, but like I said, they're still winning the games at the end of the day.
That's right, and all you can do is beat the opponent that's been put on your schedule.
And that's right. That's not nothing to them. That's just the way it's been. Like they didn't put the schedule there. That's exactly right. The schedule was the schedule. So,
we had all the praise in the world last week for Duke Johnson, and then he did absolutely nothing against, a Saints defense. The defense wasn't awful for New Orleans, like not by a long shot, but you could just tell by the end of it, they had no gas left, nothing left. Cam Jordan was wrecked. They just kept trotting back out on the field. After an unsuccessful Ian Book, 12 of 20 and 135 yards and 2 pretty poor interceptions. But when you've got no time in the pocket, you're a rookie. Miami secondary has been pretty good this year, pretty solid. They've got a couple of ball hawks there at the Dolphins. So it was always going to be tough. And you could see that the fans in the Superdome were getting a little frustrated by the end of it, but them's the breaks.
The next game, fans that weren't getting, I guess, well, they weren't unhappy at all, and that was the Cowboys, especially in the first half. That first half was just, it wasn't so much like, I mean, every wide receiver was a standout because he shared the wealth around a fair bit. It was absolutely amazing.
Heineke, after Dallas, I think it might have been on their first drive, they scored a touchdown. Heineke trots out there, and on his first pass attempt, he throws an interception. So it just... it's not the ideal start. You're 0 for 1 and 1 interception. That's not great. And then the Cowboys just
DeMarcus Lawrence got that
pounced. They pounced on everything.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence got that big DeMarcus Lawrence. Yeah, I think this week was the week of the big guys getting touchdown. The massive guys.
DeMarcus Lawrence got he got an interception. He got a pick six.
Yeah, there's a few guys that got touchdowns. Big rigs that got touchdowns.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But it was just a schmozzle for Washington. I mean, it's easy to praise Dallas. I mean, Washington aren't a great team this year, but I mean, Tyler Heinicke was awful, and then Kyle Allen came out later and wasn't that much. I mean, he did what he needed to, but it was too little too late, really, at the end of the day.
Statistically, that's a nice little, 8 of 10 and 67 yards and a touchdown pass on one of their last drives of that game you can't even say to make the score respectable, because 56 to 14 is anything far from respectable. But This game to me, like, you know, obviously it was 49 to 7. 42 to 7
first half. Yeah, you're right.
This game was more about the pettiness that is real in the NFL. So a couple of weeks ago, the Dallas Cowboys visited the Washington football team, in Landover, Maryland, just outside the Washington, D.C. area. They couldn't get any benches. So the story goes that after the Dallas Cowboys supposedly refused to use the Washington benches, in the stadium there at Landover, Maryland, supposedly because the week before, the rumor had got around that the Seattle Seahawks guys were saying that the heaters weren't working properly on the benches. So the Dallas Cowboys went, well, screw that, we'll go get our own benches. So this week, a fairly petty sort of move, the Washington football team have waltzed into AT&T Stadium and said, yep, we're going to have our own benches. And then they proceeded to punch each other on their own benches. So
I don't think it was from the benches, but I know what you mean.
not because of the benches, just because of the absolute shellacking that they were getting from the Cowboys.
That's what you just know that your team's going terrible when there's infighting during a game. That's
crazy. Oh yeah, you see arguments and things like that on the benches, but they very rarely resort into, hey, I'm gonna have a chop. I'm going to take a swing at someone.
And it didn't seem like it was, it seemed to be sort of, it was broken up pretty quickly and by players, but it wasn't, I don't know, it didn't seem like the coaches seemed to care about it. I guess they were just worrying about the game.
They had their own shit to deal with.
Possibly.
Yeah.
The Cowboys were great. It was so good, I guess, for even Cooper Rush was able to get a few passes there, and he got 2 for 3 in a touchdown for 70 yards. So he threw a TD, it's not a bad idea just in case, you know, something happens to Dak. He just gives him a bit more game time, I suppose, especially when you're that far in front.
Exactly. They're probably good at giving him a little bit more game time, like rather than leaving Dak in there as long as they did.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're comfortable. They're 11-4. They'll go up against the Cards this week. That's the one I want to win, so it at least shows people that we are an actual contender.
The Cardinals are floundering
still a tough team.
While that should still be an interesting game, but yeah, I think the Cowboys should take care of the Cardinals fairly easily, I would think.
Next game, the Raiders beating the Broncos. The Raiders, I might have heard this somewhere or I had it in my head, but the Raiders seem to me like the, I'll call it Jason Voorhees team of the NFL this year. As you think he's dead or they're dead, and then they're not dead, and then they are dead, and then they're not dead, and then at the moment they're
it's
not
dead. It's just so confusing. This is two straight wins now for the Vegas Raiders.
That's what I mean. Like, you think they're dead and they're not. It's classic Jason Voorhees.
With our simple mathematics of Derek Carr needs to throw over 300 yards, these last two wins that they've had, he's thrown under 300 yards. So, our simple mathematics have totally gone out the window.
Although for you, and especially, I guess, in your nice little fantasy, Josh Jacobs getting 129 yards would have helped you.
That definitely helped everything. I needed every single scrap of everything last week fantasy to get into a championship round in which I'll be a huge underdog. Even though I've won 11 straight.
Well, here's hope you win. Just throwing that out to someone that I don't want to win. This to me was Drew Locke was a starting quarterback, so I had to give Las Vegas the edge. I know that's just terrible, but that's just what I see Drew Locke as now. Not a winning quarterback.
Though, like, you know, Vegas, man, this should have been a game that they would have been, you'd think that they would have been handled quite handsomely.
What have they got?
The Raiders were down at halftime. Like the Bradley Chubb tip up interception inside. Yeah. I think it was inside a minute and a half to go, just on halftime, and the Broncos score, and that puts them up at halftime. It's just like, what are the Raiders doing? Like, I get it. Like the Broncos have sort of, you know, hung their hat a little bit more defensively this year than what they have offensively. They could, the Broncos could not move the ball at all, rush wise, run, pass wise. Vegas should have had this game well in hand.
Yeah, they should have, and they didn't. I mean, but that's just Vegas. At the, like, you don't know, you know, who do they really have on their team that's a winner, really, except for Derek Carr.
Like, they had 13 more minutes time in possession. And they just eked this game out.
You're right. They did nothing with it. So, yeah, it was just that last final kick, and that was just time management. That they had to push it out to four.
No, that's right. Exactly. Well, you know, it's get the job done. Keep us in the playoff hunt at 8-7. Especially against a divisional opponent, which, you know, put a bit of a dent in the Broncos. Even though coming into this game, the Broncos were 7-7. At 500,
there's
a massive logjam of teams that are on that were on 7 wins coming into this game. This now them at 7-8 makes it a little bit harder for them, and especially the way that they're sort of, you know, they're going offensively. You could only hope that Drew Lock could get a little bit better if he continues to start while Bridgewater is in concussion protocol. So. But yeah, look, Vegas just had to. All they had to do was the old cliche, just get the win.
Chiefs beating the Steelers. I guess for the Chiefs now they're at 11-4, and killing it, and using players that, you know, for better or worse. Like if they only really had Tyreek Hill there and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is there, but seems to have fallen off the planet at the moment again. Doesn't matter. They've had people that finally can step up in this team. That's been their problem before, is that they've only relied on Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and for the most part, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So Byron Pringle was pretty good in this game, getting 2 TDs.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, I guess that's what they've got to do as well. Like, you know, as this season comes to an end, you know, we're at week 16 now. There's only 2 more weeks left in the regular season. They've got to try and get confidence and a little, you know, some more reps and some more catches for some of those guys that they're definitely going to need down the stretch. You know, when they come up against the better teams, like, you know, Pittsburgh is, I think that draw that Pittsburgh got against Detroit is probably going to keep them out of last place in that division. I think that's going to be a significant, and one, shall we say, you know, in the divisional standings, that could keep them out of that that last position. But yeah, they just, you know, Roethlisberger just he's cooked.
Yeah, he is. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He's immobile.
Immobile, not just totally and utterly immobile. And when he does start to move, you fear, like, what's going to happen, like, because it just doesn't look good.
And his longest pass is 24 yards, so he's just cooked. And unfortunately,
it's been the problem all year. He's had no time behind that offensive line.
No, that's exactly right. I don't know. Like, Pittsburgh's one of those teams where you don't. There's a few teams like this where you don't know where they're going to do come next year or the seasons ahead, because they have a lot of choices they're going to have to make. Really?
That's right. They've got. Well, that's right. You know, this week coming up, Steelers, Browns, possibly. And I would think that 99.99999 recurring is going to be Roethlisberger's last game at Heinz Field. They've got some massive calls to make. And this is the kind of draft to be able to do it in. We've talked about it. There's not a whole lot of skill position players that are highly touted in this draft. You're probably not looking for they're probably not going to go the route of a rookie quarterback. that they their offensive weapons, especially if Juju Smith-Schuster comes back next year. I think they've got a good, you know, array of things to throw to, and they've also got Najee Harris there, so I think they're gonna
and, they've got a great defense too.
Patrick, so they need to bulk up front. And they need an experienced quarterback.
An experienced quarterback? Do you really think so?
Interesting. I just don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna go the route of a rookie quarterback. We know what Mason Rudolph is. He's not the answer. What is Dwayne Haskins? They're just giving him no opportunity at all to come out and play. Mason Rudolph is 100% not the option.
Oh, of course not. Pittsburgh.
I don't understand why they're not trying to get Dwayne Haskins into games.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
You've got to find out what he is. All he's done is just sat on the practice squad if he's or third on the depth chart. Yeah. Roethlisberger's not giving up any more starts. So that means he's got to get hurt, and then Mason Rudolph's got to get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
Tomlin knows what he's doing, but you have to preseason games, you know, we had a couple of preseason starts. Even though these games, you know, may be gone, and maybe it's Tomlin trying to protect his, you know, his beloved. I've never had a Pittsburgh team be under 500, but Mason Rudolph's not getting you no wins.
Oh no, Mason Rudolph's not getting you no wins. That was all fluke, and that thing last year was ridiculous. So no, 100%, he's not getting you any wins at all. Oh, this could be a player that may go there because this team's an abomination at the moment. The Seahawks going down to the Bears 25-24. I still think, as terrible as Russell Wilson's playing this year, I still think he obviously can offer something to a team. I feel that's fairly obvious, surely, isn't it?
That's fairly obvious. Like whether it's himself, it's in a bit of a slump. This team. You know, up front, same sort of thing. You know, not performing well. He's not getting those dynamic receivers well into the game. He's scrambling a lot. It's not even so much in this game. Like, he only had the two rushes for 13 yards, but he gets flushed out of the pocket a lot. And when you're on the move, and if you're not in that offensive scheme, you know, as an experienced receiver. You know, well, Tyler Lockett is an experienced receiver, but DK Metcalf isn't. So, they looked not so much totally out of sorts, but yeah, for Chicago to be in this game up to their eyeballs the whole way, it's in the snow, and they let Chicago score with a minute left. They're only down one. Chicago goes, to hell with it. Let's go for the win. Let's go for the 2 points. They get it. They go up by one, 25-24. Seattle has, what do they have, 70 seconds or something like that to try and conjure up a miracle to get into field goal range. And their final series, they ended up getting 5 yards and a turnover on downs. So I think that right there is just the way that the Seahawks season has gone this year. What the hell do they call their stadium there now?
At
Seattle, like, you know, it's got some sort of weird name.
It does have a weird name. Yeah, I'm not sure. Look, and they've had.
But that used to be. Well, what I'm trying to say is that used to be a fortress, like an absolute fortress.
It used to be a fortress. Yeah, no, you're right.
The 12th man was a real thing. Lumen Field, that's it.
Lumen. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay.
I think it used to be called Century Link Field for a little while.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, it's just not the same anymore. It seems that Russell Wilson is a little dejected, a little sort of upset with what's happening there. Does Pete Carroll return? There's a lot of rumors swirling around. Ooh. There's a lot of rumors that I've sort of read, and rumors, you know, that they could all be BS, but yeah, that there's a little bit of disharmony there with the organization and Pete Carroll. So, that'd be interesting to see what happens there. But
really? I haven't heard that one. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's a real possibility that Russell Wilson could be on the move.
I think Russell Wilson, the Pete Carroll thing surprises me a little bit. So, but, you know, he's not one of the youngest there.
No, he's him and Belichick are the oldest coaches in the league at the moment, aren't they? Along with Bruce Arians?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think so.
They're about. I think Bruce Arians might be just under, but yeah, I'm pretty sure him and Belichick are the oldest coaches.
Belichick's just that dude's not going anywhere. When is that dude gonna go anywhere? He doesn't look like he looks like the same he looked 20
when
years
carry,
ago.
When they carry his cold dead body from Gillette Stadium.
Cold dead body. I just think it wasn't so much a fluke win. I just think it was a win for the Bears. I don't really want to.
Well, that's it. Like Nick Foles started this game.
He did. Start this game.
So, were they any better there with Nick Foles? Like this game was on red zone a little bit because there was only like three games I think in that late window on red zone. So you got a decent look at this game. You got a decent look at that. At that Pittsburgh Kansas City game, and you got a decent look at that Denver Vegas game, which I didn't want a decent look at, but that were the three games that were only on red zone in that late window before the primetime game. So you got a really good look at this game, and they're just a shell of a team of what they are, Seattle. And like you said, Chicago did enough to keep them in the game, and unlike what Baltimore has tried two times this year to go for it extremely late in the game, go for two to go for the win, they haven't been able to execute, and the Chicago Bears did.
Yeah. Yeah, and they did. You're right. They really did. Bears are just – speaking of a team, they need help just as much as a lot of other teams. I still see Justin Fields, and I still like Justin Fields, but it's the to me, it's Allen Robinson. I'm not going to go into him, but like I don't even know how much I trust Darnell Mooney either. Like Montgomery Gore is the leading rusher and the leading receiver on that team.
No, yeah, that's right.
That tells you something. That tells me something.
They relied on him for everything. Seeing that stat line and watching that game. He was what Alvin Kamara provides for the Saints. Like he and just, he's not every, bad, just always, everything goes through him.
I've always liked David Montgomery. He's good since
he's come back this year.
And even though he feels like he's honestly been in this in the NFL forever, he's only literally 24 years old. It's insane. He's 24.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it feels like he's been around for a while, but he's still relatively young, and you know, his value, I think, will be not to be underrated. We'll have a look at with the Seahawks. Like Rashad Penny has only been back for the last few weeks, and he's sort of come in. You know, Chris Carson's there, sort of bell cow at running back, exactly, and he's gone for the season. And Rashad Penny has done pretty good the last couple of weeks.
This Houston win over the Chargers
is so confusing.
Well, firstly, I did, and I think we did talk about this guy. I did like Davis Mills, and I honestly think, I really think they'll end up. Well, they're not going to obviously have Deshaun back. I think that's more than likely, and I don't think they'll go after a quarterback next year. I think they'll rely on Davis Mills and pick up other necessary pieces. Because I know
they're extraordinarily thin at running back, and even though they've offloaded a couple of running backs that have been successful in other teams this year, but they sorely miss a really damaging runner. Even though in this game, the evergreen Rex Burkhead comes in and has a couple of TDs and 149 rushing yards, which was just totally out of the blue.
Yeah, it was extremely out of it's Rex Burkhead, for God's sakes. But it was,
if you're the LA Chargers, you cannot get dominated on the ground by Rex frickin' Burkhead.
And I'm not even going to put it all on Justin Herbert because he wasn't he wasn't too bad, really. It was just everything. The running game really wasn't there. Justin Jackson, another player, the leading rusher and the leading receiver, You know, Keenan Allen was either absolutely covered or absolutely nowhere in this game.
Look, no, Austin Eckler. Like, I don't think you can't underestimate the value that the LA Chargers, you know, they need Austin Eckler. They need that dual threat.
Oh, 100%.
That dual threat runner.
Yeah, 100%. They need. Yeah, you're right. They needed him.
That is a huge part of their offense.
It was a Rex Burkhead game, but I mean, even the Houston defense.
Well, no, Mike Williams either for the Chargers. Like their wide receiver stocks are down, and that makes them a little predictable. You could even double team Keenan Allen if you wanted to.
Well, they probably did. If you look, he only got 16 yards in this game, I believe. So
Keenan
he didn't
Allen
get much.
35.
Yeah, but still, for a.
For your number one, like, he's got to be able to see his fair share of the targets. Like, he should be up there in the most targeted wide receiver on that team. So, Davis Mills there. They could possibly see something in him.
I'd give him a full year and get some other pieces, glaring other pieces they need.
If they get a little help up front, if Brandon Cooks comes back and buys into this offense, like they didn't have Brandon Cooks in this game. Like it's insane that they moved the ball as well as they did, and you know punched the ball on the ground as well as they did.
And Davis Mills was only sacked once, so it's not their offensive line's not too bad. It's you're right. They need a rusher. And like a running back, I should say. And because they got rid of so many players, they need more. I know they were good in this game, but they do need more help in the defense. More help. They got rid of like everybody. Everybody has just been cut from that side.
Ridiculous. Whether they're budget cuts, whether they're, you know, they got Philip Lindsay. I think they had Duke Johnson at the start of this season. They've let both of those guys go. You know, David Johnson has been a bit of a, you know, fall flat on his face a little bit with this team, you know, as he tries to sort of revive his career a la, you know, Devontae Freeman, you know, what he's done at Baltimore. That sort of fell on his face a little bit. So I think that's a little bit more to do with the offense.
Yeah, but then they got rid of a few weeks ago, like their great linebacker, Zach Cunningham, was just cut all of a sudden.
It's crazy.
It is a team that seems to.
It's like the Houston Texans owners Vince McMahon and just cutting talent, you know, willy nilly all over the place. I need budget cuts.
Oh my god. A team that doesn't seem to be, well, seems to be back into that Super Bowl mix again, and that's the Buccaneers beating the Panthers. They should have always won this game, obviously, but it was a decent win at 32-6.
Look, they were always going to have enough firepower to get over Carolina. You know, Cam benched again, looked pretty ordinary. Sam Darnold come in, didn't look that much better. So, what's this team's problem? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't think it's quarterback play. Like, it's both quarterbacks looked awful. Sam Darnold looked like a world beater at the start of this season. What has happened there? Why the sudden drop off? You know, is it form, confidence? Like, is it that they've got their offensive line isn't playing as well? Is it as simple as Christian McCaffrey? Is it that simple?
Maybe. Maybe. Or I don't like
healthy.
No, he can't, and he's now, you know, just like just certain other things, like just like do you trust him coming in next year if you were talking fantasy and everything like that? I just don't know who they're
talking about paying him.
Well, but then
in the same draft as Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara's got his money.
But then that's the thing. But then what if you don't, and he goes somewhere on the free, and he becomes what Christian McCaffrey is and has proved. It's hard.
But you could almost take a fly on him and go look and put him on the trade block. See what you can get for him. Some team out there might think we can squeeze the best out of him.
Or you put you put caveats there as well. Maybe you do sign him and you say, well, you know, if you get injured, all that kind of stuff.
You would have to have, he would have to have a very low guaranteed percentage of his salary.
Yeah, he'd have to.
So you could, that's right. You could pay him all the money in the world, but you know, the guaranteed money of it would be very low, and having, yeah. and they would have to put in things like incentives, and things like that to go, right, you make this many games, or you get this many receptions, or you get a Pro Bowl selection, or you play this many snaps. You know, snap count is a big thing with players and their incentives as well. So that would be a very heavily structured contract if they decide to put some money into it.
Have to be.
Either that, or the dreaded franchise tag comes out.
It's not a bad one. I don't think it's just him.
You can franchise him a couple of years.
I think you're not going to have Cam there next year. Sam's got another year. I think maybe because you're around that edge, I think maybe you go after a quarterback in the rookie draft. You're going to be around that top. A lot of these defensive players and offensive line players will go in the top 6 to 8. And they'll probably get a 9th or a 10th pick. Maybe they go for a quarterback. I think they have to, don't they?
I think if you just take the blueprint, you take the blueprint from the start of the season, can they continue that on? Like, I don't know why I want to keep hanging my hat with Sam Darnold. I really don't think he's this bad. Maybe he is. Maybe I'm not seeing the right things, but I just don't think that team should be giving up on him.
Well, they can't. He's definitely got another year on his contract, so they can't, unless he gets traded, which is not going to happen. They can't give up. They can't give up on him. So,
you have a look at some of the, even as a high class backup, like somewhere, yeah, you know, right. in a successful organization. So,
well, see, their cap's pretty healthy too. So they could go all out for and get a quarterback. Either in the free agency or do – it's not like a sign and trade, which I wish they had in the NFL, like the NBA, but –
they have to go for a straight-up free agency or try and use draft capital.
Exactly.
For another team to try and get into, you know, maybe get into the, you know, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes or – you know, maybe a Matt Ryan or somebody like that. Like, I don't think that they would let. I don't think the Atlanta Falcons would let it. Ryan go to a divisional opponent. But you know, we've seen stranger things happen.
And just to prove that Tom Brady does need some sort of weapon there, you know, Antonio Brown 10 catches 100 yards. When he has a weapon there, he's good. And it was proved last week that when they doesn't have it there, he's no good. Again, your team proved that. I know they always do, but they still proved it. When they do have a weapon there,
but it's also against a fairly stout defense in the Saints defense. Like this Panthers defense is nowhere near the class of what New Orleans is.
I still think he.
And all you need is that one weapon, especially if
and that's right.
Antonio
he just needs
Brown.
A weapon. Yeah. Oh, and that's ridiculous in itself.
And
here's
the possibility that he could miss this week.
yeah, you're right. Next game, the Eagles. I think you mentioned this before even we started recording. The Eagles beating the Giants 34-10. They quarterplay the East Texas in an order to Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson's roots. What the hell is that?
I don't know. I was just trying to read up about it there before. They're getting a little bit tricky.
Is it tricky or is that just you're not even like fully 500 yet? Is that a little bit cocky?
Yeah,
well, they're over 500 now. Sorry,
not so much cocky, but I think it's a divisional team. This is definitely a team you could try that sort of stuff against.
Yeah, no, and it's a divisional rival, so you can, you know, play that up as well. So,
yeah. Just having a quick read of it there, it was basically like an offensive lineman, you know, break free. Like, I think it was the right tackle there. One of the many offensive linemen that caught touchdowns this week.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. The separation, and this is exactly where they need to use him, and your boy Devontae Smith, his separation that he was getting in this game was really good. Really good. He didn't have to throw much, Jalen Hurts, which is good. He doesn't need to throw much. The game plan was honestly probably perfect. Sanders did what he probably could have ran a little bit more, but Sanders did what he hit and started did what he does and started Boston Scott. But yeah, the separation I could see Devontae getting because he is that quick. He can get.
No, that's right. Yeah, exactly. That's sort of the new era in wide receivers at the moment is to be able to get not so much like Tyreek Hill, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, guys that have got speed, Deontay Johnson. Guys that can get separation and separation quickly to be able to get open, and if you've got somebody like Jalen Hurts is beginning to be a little bit more accurate. He was pretty poor last week, but like I said, didn't have to throw too much in this game. This game was a total disaster for Jake Fromm. He started the game and he ended up getting benched, and Mike Glennon had to sort of come in and try and save a little bit of face for the Giants, but at 34-10, what sort of face is there to save, really? Saquon Barkley again, a non-factor. Like it's just.
Well, this is talk about a team that needs to do. The Steelers need to do some. They've got Steelers have weapons. There the New York Giants. Like, what are they like? Do they re-sign Daniel Jones? What the hell do they do with Barkley? The receivers aren't too bad, Kadarius Toney and Kenny Golladay. But you need a quarterback there.
The lack of use, for both their tight ends there in Kyle Rudolph and Evan Engram, who are both proven tight ends, and they do not use them at all. They're used basically wholly and solely as protectors, as blockers, because their offensive line is a turd fight.
The one good thing about them, I guess, for in terms of mock drafts next year, is they'll most likely just like a slew of teams. They should have two picks in the top 10.
We're trusting David Gettleman again with these high picks. Like, who the hell knows what he's gonna pick?
And Joe Judge. Well, that's exactly right. I mean,
Gettleman has proved that he thinks he's the smartest football brain known to man, with the way that he sort of jumped up in the draft big time to go get Daniel Jones, and he's a total flop.
Yeah. Oh well. I mean, there's a few. It'll be weapons. It'll be weapons. What I mean in the defense, because they need. Well, they need that.
And the other thing is too is it's clear as well. Like, and I don't know how. But it's clear that Saquon Barkley is not a power runner at the moment.
No.
He's got quad muscles that are like the width of my body. But how is he not a power runner?
Too many injuries. Him and McCaffrey.
He said that's all it is. He's just got no confidence in the
body.
It was a torn ACL that he's come off.
We all keep picking these two guys as top two, top three, top four players in the drafts, and we all keep getting screwed if you pick them in certain leagues because of that reason.
You've got to go, and that's the thing, and that's where people go for the so-called boom or bust, type of pick, especially if you've got a high pick. You've got to go proven commodities.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to.
At the moment, with these kind of guys that are showing that they get hurt all the time, or they're on a trash team like Barkley is, you get no value.
I don't know if it's Barkley. I mean, there's a lot of question marks in the Giants.
From top to bottom.
Except I still think there's something there with Kadarius Toney and Kenny Golladay, and they've got some decent. I think they've got some decent corners too, I believe. I think they've got, Xavier McKinney's coming off, he's coming on. Jabril Peppers will be on free agency, but he's got Xavier McKinney. So that he's still pretty good. If they end up signing Jabril Peppers, of course, they're pretty talented together. But other than that, top to bottom. I mean,
I like Peppers. He's a very multifaceted type of player.
And I like
he can return punts for you. He can do a lot of things.
I like Xavier McKinney as well. I think their secondary is pretty good. It's funny we're going from one toilet bowl to another, so to speak. Well, this one's probably more of a toilet bowl, but the Jags going down to the Jets, and you could tell by the last quarter is that they were both going, do we really need to win this game? Or they look, it no, just came
play for a draw, play for a draw,
because it had draft spot implications.
Absolutely. I
mean, it looked like the Jaguars wanted to win this game, and then they must have just realized, oh no, we still have the number one pick if we lose this game. And they did lose, and then they pushed the Jets out to the pick four now at the moment. So, I mean, my God. We haven't talked about this guy much this year, but I watched bits and pieces of this game, and Zach Wilson looked better than Trevor Lawrence. Is it just the first year, get the hell the first year out of the way, and then it's just the way it is?
I think Trevor Lawrence is having, some extreme confidence issues at the moment. Like, it's just, he just...
I think actually Troy Aikman said it. He has said it. Troy Aikman did say, always rule the first year out for a quarterback, for a rookie. Always rule the first year out. So maybe it's just something...
And he would know, because he is a former high draft pick. And yeah. I don't think he had the raging success.
He had a terrible first year.
Yeah, of what they would think. And when their tie fires like these two clubs have been over the last few years, then especially if you're going one and two in the draft, so they're not going to have the uber success unless you're having some crazy off season signings and do you know what I mean? Like they've just gone par for the course, really. A Trevor Lawrence. I just think that he's just being bashed around a lot. And I think that's been part of his confidence problem. I think Zach Wilson is, like you said, he may have looked a little bit better in this game, but he threw for 102 yards. He relied on his legs a lot, and that one rush that he had, that 52 yard rush, was insane. That just the amount of people that he was dodging, stepping around, it was just like, holy shit.
You're right. I mean,
they relied on this game. They were just going to punch Jacksonville in the mouth with the run game, and Jacksonville couldn't handle it. And also Jacksonville, if they tried to do the same thing, they lost James Robinson early in this game with an Achilles problem. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't sort of looked too much about this. I don't know if that's a torn Achilles and his season is over, but I know that he went out of this game with an Achilles injury.
And his season isn't over, but he's definitely not playing this coming week because his first name's Dare. That's all I'm going to – I can't remember how to say his last name.
Ogunbowale,
right. Yeah, he's definitely the starting running back. With the Jets, but Zach Wilson did Marge Bella, but I do, they've got some.
The difference is in this game, that really was the 103 yard kickoff return by Braxton Berrios.
Who's another player that can be multifaceted and he has that speed and he can do that.
They had Tevin Coleman returning kicks as well.
He's pretty good. He can catch a ball too, Braxton Berrios. He's got some decent hands. You got Michael Carter running over 100 yards. It seems to be a lot now. And he hasn't. I think he's been out the entire year. But they're who is their free agency signing?
Corey Davis hasn't been there a lot this year. They just need massive help in defense,
which is good for this draft. They need help on probably a defense and then probably also an offense.
Offensive line. I think if they can give sort of Zach Wilson a little bit more time as a pocket passer, he could probably be a little bit more accurate. But once again, then you need those weapons there. If Corey Davis is he's a good route runner. Braxton Berrios is quick. So,
if they get one more, have you seen in that game, and they get one more offensive line player would be good, because that Mekhi Becton, would have, he's one of the largest human beings
Holy
I've ever seen.
Holy moly.
And if they get another large human being just to be bookends and just like completely
protect that. Can you imagine the food bill in that house?
Oh my God, he's one of the biggest humans I've. Anyway, yeah, well that's why you build him like this.
Be a large, hungry human. Oh,
of course he'll be a large, hungry human. Like I said, imagine the food bill.
Oh, it'd
be
God.
Like my family's food bill just be just his.
Just for him.
And he'd still probably be hungry, but anyway, that's.
and he'll be getting food at the training facility.
Now we're getting sort of to the good games. Well, at least the games that mean something. But the Bills beating now the Pats and then pushing them back into the first position in their division, the score being 33-21.
This game, a lot of chances were taken by Buffalo, and they were really good. A lot of chances were taken by the Patriots, especially on fourth and short. Happened a lot. I think the Patriots, up until the final interception that was thrown by Mac Jones, were 5 for 5 on fourth down attempts. So the Bills had a fourth and I think it was a fourth and two touchdown on their opening drive that they sort of punched in for a TD. So I think they were all. Under no illusions that we need to take the chances that these teams will give us, look, the Pats going into the fourth quarter, they're only down 5.
Yeah, they could. So their problem is they're only down 5, but to me they didn't look like Buffalo. To me, always looked like they were winning this game.
Oh, they shut down Mac Jones. A lot like Mac Jones is extremely inaccurate. They kept him off the field. The Bills themselves had 11 plus minutes time in possession. So they were just trying to keep him off the field.
And with the Pats defense, it was the game plan. They were set up like on nickel formation the whole game. You could see that Josh Allen was loving running out of the pocket. You know, they didn't have Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. They must have just went, well, they've got no run game. We're just going to stay in nickel formation and then, cover.
And then, they capitalized on it big time. And you don't normally see that from, a Bill Belichick, from a Belichick design defense. Like he's usually pretty good, at shutting down.
He plans this kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But when you can get in between, that first and second line of defense, in between the linebackers and the defensive front, then it makes it a little bit hard because if you're missing tackles, then you're just it's death by a thousand paper cuts. It's not those huge chunk plays that they're looking for. We know Josh Allen's got a massive arm on him, but it's getting done what the defense gives you, and that's just getting in behind the front four and getting some yards after the catch.
And that's why I use Isaiah McKenzie so well, and that's what a lot of his runs were. Out of those 11, he had a 28.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing was too, the Bills didn't have Gabriel Davis. They didn't have Cole Beasley. So Cole Beasley is one of the better slot receivers in the league at the moment. He always seems to be open. Gabriel Davis has been really good over the last half of the season. So they had to use guys like Isaiah McKenzie. Stephon Diggs is always going to be there thereabouts. Emmanuel Sanders probably didn't get the use I would have thought he would have gotten in this game with Davis and Beasley being out. But that's just when you ride the hot hand, and Isaiah McKenzie was getting open, he was getting yards after catch, so you use him.
And Josh Allen was just phenomenal in this game. No interceptions, no sacks, 3 TDs.
It was clean. No turnovers, and that's what you want to do.
And because he knew when to run the ball to get his 64 yards. He was just
he was great on the ground. Was really good on the ground.
He controlled this game. They're interesting. Yeah, they've now moved. And now I know it could have been just one game. They're 9-6, and then on front of the AFC East. But they've moved in contendership, and we'll talk about that later. But if they play like that,
they are playing much better than what they have.
Much better.
And they're beating good teams now. Like before, they weren't beating good teams. you know, and they were running up scores on bad teams and not really sort of competing against those, you know, against those better teams in the league. But the, over the last, two to three weeks, they've looked really impressive.
Another team that's starting to look a little bit impressive, and that's the Rams beating the Vikings 30-23.
I wouldn't be sleeping on LA at the moment.
I wouldn't be sleeping on them. No, you're right. I guess I'm still slightly concerned about Matthew Stafford. I don't even get any. He didn't get any. Didn't get sacked in this game, but he did throw another three interceptions.
Oh yeah, he said it. He said it at the the post game interview that he's got to be much much better than throwing three interceptions and keeping Minnesota in this game because
that's exactly what happened. Turnovers were.
Turnovers were massive. Turnovers for both teams were massive. Like Kirk Cousins, had a couple of fumbles. Like he didn't lose any, but they had both teams were having trouble holding onto the ball.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It was. I mean, for Rams, they got it done. Obviously, again with Cooper Kupp, but Sony Michel coming out of nowhere.
Sony Michel was massive. Ian Henderson.
Daryl Henderson.
I'm thinking of Ian Henderson, the former New Zealand Warriors dummy half.
Jesus. That's a name.
I don't know why that name just popped in my head.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
That did come out of nowhere. A little bit of an RKO out of nowhere. Daryl Henderson looks like he's done for the season, so this is going to be a very, very run-dependent. They're going to depend on Sony Michel a lot. The talk floating around at the moment is Cam Akers could be ready to go. I think that would be such a foolish move off a torn Achilles, not a torn ACL or anything like that, a torn Achilles to be able to be rushed back inside, 6 months, 7 months?
I think that's
crazy talk.
It'd be absolutely ridiculous. They're talking
if he could come back and you could absolutely say, I am 100%. I'm pain-free. I'm confident. But it's a running back position. You get pummeled from every single direction that position.
And again, why? You know, Daryl Henderson, you said, looks like he's out. But Sony Michel was good in this game. He was good. So use him again. Why not?
I think that's... Look, it's a depth issue.
It'd be ridiculous if they do. I agree with you.
I think that would be such a foolish move for this late in the season. Right. Like, I get it. They're pushing for a Super Bowl. They only had, five receivers that they caught passes in this game. You need to be a little bit more multifaceted than that. Cooper Kupp is just doing Cooper Kupp things. I think they probably should rely a little bit more on Odell Beckham Jr. since he's there. I think they can rely on him more. Who else are you throwing to? Like Van Jefferson did nothing.
He got a nice separation in the end zone for that touchdown, and then
that's right.
Then had to celebrate like only Odell does. So that was ridiculous.
Got into a little bit of a Twitter stink with Justin Jefferson as well.
He also got into a beef with He started then tweeting a bit, Odell, basically saying how good it is there and really just throwing shade over. And he started trending because he was throwing shade on Baker. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it.
He can't help himself, can he? He can't help himself.
No, he can't. Bengals smashing the Ravens. I mean, look, you got, before I say them, man, like you had you've got three wide receivers in this game for a reason, and they're all three are great wide receivers. And if I started relying on one, I have T. Higgins and Jamar Chase in a fantasy team, but I thought Jamar Chase, who did okay, would be the better one. But no, T. Higgins, 194 and two touchdowns.
He had himself a day, and Joe Burrow found him often and often open. A couple of passes that he caught, basically over the top of defenders and double covered as well. And you're like, man, like he's just with some of those passes, it's all about the timing of the jump as well. He had himself a day.
J. Joe Burrow is going to be the one that's going to ruin my multi out of all the teams. But throwing a franchise record 525 yards, it's absolutely insane what he did. And they were accurate, and he didn't look tired because he threw 46 times, no interceptions, four TDs, got sacked three times, but that's fine. That happens, you know, in generally a lot of games. And, man,
Joe Mixon was good when called upon in this game as well.
In saying all this, I'm still concerned for them that Baltimore was still able to put 21 points on them with a third/fourth-string quarterback.
That's right. The phenomenon that's known as Josh Johnson, the guy that stepped in for the Jets and had the game of his life when he in his first start.
So that's what I mean. It's still concerning that 21 points were still put on them. I still think that's concerning to me. I know it's in the grand scheme of things, it probably doesn't make a difference, possibly, but still, I still think that's a little bit concerning.
I mean, the Bengals defense could have been a lot better. And the way that Baltimore played, I thought, especially on their first, on their two touchdown drives, not the one in the fourth quarter, but their two touchdown drives that they had in the first and second quarter, they looked all right.
Yeah, they did.
Looked like they moved the ball well. They relied on Mark Andrews, which is what you do. Mark Andrews on one of those catches, I think it was just before the half was ending or just before they got that second touchdown in the second quarter. He had like five defenders all hanging off at least, one extremity and one hanging off his head. And he was still gaining forward meters. It was unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, a defensive lineman comes in and smashes him, and that stops his progression. But he had safeties and corners and linebackers, hanging off each extremity, and he's still going forward. It was unreal.
These tight ends, just are massively mobile, and then can just motor all these tight ends. Your three big ones, your Kittles, your Kelsey's, your Andrews, and throw Waller in the mix. They're just
throw Waller in there, like they're just
unbelievable. Pitts later, they're so unbelievable. It's absolutely ridiculous. But I don't know, the Ravens. I mean, we don't even know possibly if Lamar Jackson's going to be there this week, even.
No.
So they're looking a bit. I mean,
Huntley was one of the ones on the COVID list, so.
They're looking a bit shaky. They're obviously in this. This division is still from 1-4. Still, anybody can still technically win it from 1-4. Like Cleveland can still theoretically win this because I'm still hoping.
It'd all come back onto tiebreakers and sort of BS like that. So this, like you said, while there is still a mathematical chance, we are definitely running out of games to be played. Only two more left. So, what are Cleveland 7-8? So realistically, they can only be 9-8. That could be enough to win this division. But Baltimore's got, they've got the Rams next week. That's rough for them. They lose that. They're probably done in the division. I think if Cincinnati wins next week.
So this is where it comes down to. So this is why I think it's between them and the Browns, because they've got the Chiefs this week.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah, the Bengals have got the Chiefs.
And then if they lose that and Cleveland win, that's the last game. The Bengals versus the Browns. So it's half a crapshoot.
Yeah, and then Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Is the other interdivisional round in the last one. So
you're right. Like it, that. Theoretically, except for Pittsburgh, all these teams could finish on 9. It's possible even Pittsburgh's. If it all plays out, it's possible Pittsburgh's tie puts them division
over everybody.
Wins. Yes, because everybody would technically be on 9-7, except for
They'd be on 9. If it all comes out, they could all finish on 9-8, and Pittsburgh could finish 9-7-1.
And win the division with that.
Win the division. Which would be extraordinary.
Insane. This division's ridiculous. Because theoretically, all that could happen.
My God. Just like this game, a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath. Burrow was just, Burrow was awesome. We're not going to be hard-pressed, I think, for us to find a stud. It was absolutely awesome. One of the most dour games I've seen was the next game, the Falcons beating the Lions 20-16, when Matt Ryan just sneaked out the win, threw only 200 yards, and Tim Boyle threw under 200
yards. Against Tim Boyle! Come on, Atlanta!
At least Kyle Pitts is looking okay. He did what everybody wanted him to do, but it was against the Lions, I know, but still.
Yeah, this was a bit of a stinker. Like, you know, the Lions tried to sort of beat them out, beat them into submission with a bit of a heavy run game, but didn't quite work. St. Brown played well again. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter at the moment which team is out there. Well, which quarterback is out there for the Lions? He's catching bulk passes over the last month or so and looking really good. And like you said, Kyle Pitts is, at least how are Atlanta even still in the mix really? But, this would have been a bit of a yucky, I've only seen the highlights and stuff for this game. It's even they weren't, I think they were fairly few and far between as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, there was nothing. The only one that seems to be, that I really wanted to plug was that, like you mentioned him, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's just the last 4 weeks have been unbelievable. The rookies, so he's kind of had to be because there's nothing else on that team. But that's
well,
fine.
That's right. They are severely lacking wide receiver talent at the moment. Whether it's due to injury or due to guys being on the COVID list and stuff. So,
they'll still probably end up getting the second pick. I think the Jags are signing up the first pick. So
I think so, and I think that it could come once again. It could come down to that draw.
Yeah,
could stink them out of the first pick.
And that's fine because there's two. But of all accounts of all drafts, and we don't have to touch on drafts yet. But of all accounts of all drafts, it looks like these two massive defensive edges will be the first two picks in next year's draft. And they're both like bell cows, both of them. So,
Detroit could definitely use some help on the defensive end.
Yes, they can. Yeah, I think that's a given.
Well, look, one player is not going to over the edge, but it's the building blocks. And while they picked up Penei Sewell, on the offensive side last year, if they could get a defensive bookend, so to speak, and somebody that they can really sort of rely on, then I think they could win a few more games next year.
The Colts beating the Cardinals and a completely bang up Colts too, when the Cardinals really should have won this game. Really, at the end of the day,
it's unbelievable. Unbelievable how poor Arizona are really playing at home. But
exactly. They're so good away, they just can't win at home.
Yeah, that's right. The Cardinals beat themselves. They beat themselves in this game.
Yeah.
A missed PAT, two missed field goals. That Kyler Murray got pinged, in the end zone for a safety. In the second half they turned the ball over twice on downs. Like, they're just beating themselves.
The only one that seemed to stand up and then play in this game, and you could see him on the sideline trying to get everybody, and that was Budda Baker. He was just he was unbelievable.
Oh yeah, no, that's right. He's a really good energetic defensive player.
See, and that's what's concerning. You say, okay, that's the energetic, right? But this is the concerning thing about them is Kyler Murray doesn't seem to be energetic when he's on the sidelines. He seems extremely nonchalant. But I thought you'd need. When they're down, you need the quarterback to be that guy that's like, come on, everybody, like pump everybody. Yeah, and right. he just doesn't.
Well, not so much as a rah-rah kind of guy I think you need a little bit more enthusiasm out of him. And while Carson Wentz and they're bell cow at the moment in Jonathan Taylor, Jonathan Taylor's first run from scrimmage went for 43 yards in the first half. After that, he was pretty well contained.
Yeah, he was very quiet.
He had 10 rushing attempts for only 14 yards after that in the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was extremely quiet.
Yeah. So they contained it well. But you've got to be you know, Frank Reich, it looked like he'd sort of noticed that. And he's like, well, maybe I need to pass it a little bit more in the second half. And he did it. And Pittman showed up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that's just their team. Like
but that's what you've got to be able to do. You've got to be able to change things up on the run.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I can't remember when it was. I think it was in the second half, but there was a rare play of it sort of bounced off someone. The rare Kyler Murray getting his own. I think it was off a fumble, but he ended up no receptions for 7 yards. It's very rare that it happens. But it was,
I can't remember when it was, but it's very rare.
Is that like because if you read it, obviously he can't obviously throw it to himself. But I think it's the way it sort of bounced. I can't remember. I think it was in the second quarter how it bounced up, and then he sort of caught it 7 yards later.
Oh okay, yep.
Yeah, extremely rare to see, but it's just
possible fumble and it goes up in the air.
And then it went up in the air and then he caught it and then he got 7 yards after catch. So,
yeah, I think that's how it was too. I think it was a fumble. The arm's not coming forward. The ball goes up in the air, but yeah. it gets sort of projected forward and then he goes through and catches it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that play now.
They still might win the division, the Colts, but goddamn, they're the team you wouldn't want to see in wild card. Even if they do win. Because yeah, we said this about Tennessee, but they keep winning, you know, he should be what's his name? Is it Vrabel? He should probably be the coach of the year with what
like
he's had.
He probably in consideration.
For what he's had to put up with and the players that he's out to be where they are, to still win at 10-5. I don't know. I don't know. They still might win the division, but I wouldn't want to see the Colts in that
AFC
wild card. No way in hell I want to see the Colts. Two more games. The second to last game is the Packers beating the Browns.
Colts have got the Raiders and the Jags.
Oh, yeah. So that's fine. I would
think that would be two fairly easy wins. But, you know, in this league...
Well, the Raiders could be anything.
Well, in this league, you can't take any wins or any games for granted. All you got to do is just have a look at the Chargers and the Texans. Like, you know, one team can show up. One team can be a little complacent. One team could have players that, you know, especially on a poor team like what the Texans have, they could be guys playing for contracts. You know, they're, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, those guys step up. So, looks like the Titans have got the Dolphins, which are, you know, arguably the hottest team in the league right now. And then they've got the Texans. So that would be possibly Indianapolis would obviously have to win out and Tennessee would have to drop one of the next two games.
Yeah, and then so it's a good
next
one.
Next week is the big one against the Dolphins, the Texans, the Titans,
and even the Colts against the Raiders because you don't know what you're coming up against.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, at least it's in Indianapolis. So
the Packers beating the Browns, 24-22. This was. It felt like a bit of like they got where they needed to, and it's a bit of a foot off the gas, I guess, game from. Except, I mean, he was nearly for me considered the start of the game. But every time Davante Adams touched a ball, it was just those two as a combination is so silky smooth and unbelievably in sync. It's ridiculous. Him and
Adams. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they know what each other's thinking in their sleep. Like it's unbelievable the way how those two are playing at the moment. How Cleveland were keeping themselves in this game defensively. Like, you know, I thought they still did pretty well to be able to keep them in this game while Baker Mayfield was throwing four interceptions.
Yep. Another player that you don't even know. I've said it all year. They would be absolutely ludicrous if they'll wreck half a decade if they sign Baker Mayfield to an extension.
Franchise tags coming.
Unless they go all in for someone, you know, there'd be plenty of players. But who's going to want to go?
Well, that's true. But yeah, they don't have the greatest sort of, you know, receiving core there either.
Who wants to go to the Browns? Is the other thing. Who wants to go to Cleveland? So
no, that's the other thing too. But look, you know, Nick Chubb in this game.
Yeah.
It took them a while to get into this game too. Like, they didn't use Chubb much at all in the first half, but Cleveland in the second half decided, all right, screw this, and they had 150 plus rushing yards in the second half. So they find, yeah, the penny had finally dropped to go, oh, we do need to run the ball because Baker continually turns the ball over, especially in this game. So how about we just go to the run game, and we've got one of the best running backs, you know, in the league. So how about we do that?
What this? This is what they get. Why go away from something
towards the end of the game too? Like, what were they? Yeah, you know, they're trying to get into field goal range. They're marching up the field. They don't need much, and then they call three pass plays, and then Baker gets picked off.
I don't get it for the sheer fact that their game plan last year was just running those two. Yes, Hunt's been out and Chubb's been out as well this year, but their game plan last year was just run those two.
So they don't trust Dearness Johnson, who stepped in really well for both of those guys when they've been out?
Why go away from something that clearly works?
Exactly.
Got it. Works on
the
Colts.
On that final drive was pure insanity when they were right on the cusp of field goal range. They only needed 10 or 15 yards.
Yep.
And, let's call three pass plays. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
Baker gets picked off. He's all upset, flailing his arms around in the air everywhere. It looks like the referees missed a little bit of a shirt pull, on that final interception. So they may have got hosed a little bit, but it's such poor play calling.
That's what I thought. It was more poor play calling. They got probably a little bit dubious at the end, but still, it's just poor play calling.
Just crazy stuff.
Where are we at? 121. Finished on the last game. The last game was, they were red hot, the 49ers, but they went down to the Tennessee Titans 20-17.
San Francisco turnovers were a big part of the two interceptions by Jimmy G were really costly and at such inopportune moments. And that's sort of the only question, not so much question mark, where the criticism comes from with Garoppolo. If they turn the ball over, he's sort of, and they jumped out to a really quick 10-0 start as well, San Francisco.
Yeah, but you're right. It wasn't only the interception. It was also their fumbles in this game. Well, Debo, smashed it with 159 yards. He did have two fumbles in this game as well. He recovered one of them, so it wasn't too bad, I suppose. But I think this was just more of a game that they needed someone back in the Tennessee Titans, at least for Tannehill, and A.J. Brown was back, and A.J. Brown was brilliant in this game.
No, that's right. And Tennessee started off this game awful. Look, they had like 12 total yards in the first quarter. They had two passing plays for negative 12 yards. Negative 7 yards.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, oh, my God. Like, what is this game plan? What are they doing? But, stay composed. Got back into the game. Capitalized on Garoppolo. I think it was his first play after, I think, Tennessee kicked a field goal on their opening drive in the second half. Jimmy G gets the ball back, and on his very first play that he has from scrimmage in the second half, throws an interception.
And that just kept
Tennessee alive, kept them in the game, and they're just like, right, we've got this, and they ended up tying the game up in that third quarter at 10-all.
Yeah, but like you said, this is a problem of Jimmy G sometimes, that the turnovers at the time can be extremely costly.
Just costly. Yeah. Like, turnovers, yes, they're costly, but you put so much pressure on your defense then. And look, AJ Brown, coming back this week had a massive influence on this game. Tennessee couldn't get much of a rush game happening. There's little to be feared in their rush game until the possibility of Derrick Henry coming back maybe in week 18. So I think a lot of teams might be a little bit, if he can sort of get some reps under his belt before the playoffs, Tennessee will be a scary prospect. But they're decimated receiver wise as well. And like you said, you know, Vrabel should be in consideration for coach of the year with what he's done, the amount of injuries that they've had, you know, that they've grinded out wins.
I think he needs to be because that's what I mean. Like he's been, well, I don't know. I think he's, you know, for what they've had to endure, it's been great. So,
So and look, they had a really good head start on this division as well because Indianapolis had such a rough first 5 weeks to this season. So when they started strong, they put a really good lead on the Colts in this division. Like the Colts have clawed it back and they've played really well. And like you said, it's going to come down to these final 2 weeks. And if Indianapolis can sort of win out, they'd have to wait on Tennessee, you know, to sort of, you know, possibly drop that, you know, drop the next week's game. And then they go to,
I think they're okay. I think it could be a lot of toss ups in these last 2 weeks.
If they finish on the same record, I'm pretty sure that they've won both games against the Colts. Yeah. So they get the tiebreaker. So they'll win the division.
So that's all the games for week 16. Start of the week, I mean, I mentioned him before, but Joe Burrow is pretty hard to go past, obviously. 525 and 4 touchdowns.
Pretty easy. Fourth highest yards thrown by a quarterback in league history.
In league history. Yep. Yeah. Amazing.
Had 299 yards at halftime.
Halftime. Yeah.
Was a little, look, I saw the post-game press conference with him. There was a little bit of shade thrown in his direction by the Baltimore defensive coordinator.
Yeah, there was a little bit.
Dante Martindale, who basically, come out and said, oh, you know, it's too early to be throwing him a gold jacket this early and, you know, this early in his career and everything. And did he say, you know, a gold jacket obviously is a Hall of Fame jacket. He didn't confirm or deny that sort of, you know, that got in his head and spurred him along a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think
no one's throwing roses at Joe Burrow's feet at the moment. Like it's about longevity in this league.
Your dud of the week.
I think that's pretty clear as well. Then the LA Chargers.
Yeah, that's absolutely clear.
That's unbelievable. Like they are only down 2 points going into the fourth quarter.
The pick six.
It's a disaster. You cannot let Houston, fourth quarter, 3 touchdowns and a field goal. Let's blew them out.
The pick six at the end there was just that threw directly to him. It didn't even look like it. It should have went to any player there on the Chargers.
It wasn't there. Any other player except the Texans player.
No. So just some news to finish up on. Not so much news. I think we were talking about possibly some questions to be answered.
Look, a couple of questions. Okay, so first question I've got for you is you've got your teams ranked in tiers and things like that, but not so much a question, but we'll go real quick. The search for Urban Meyer's replacement has begun. I don't know if you've heard or seen too much about this. They've asked
a couple of them.
Yeah, they've asked to talk to Todd Bowles, who's the Tampa defensive coordinator. They've asked to talk to Byron Leftwich, who's the offensive coordinator at Tampa. Kellen Moore is getting, his name's getting thrown around a little bit more, and that's your boys. He's the OC there, and Dan Quinn, his name was being thrown around, and he's the defensive coordinator at Dallas. He shut that down. He said, I do not want an interview with them. So he's a smart man. And also former Super Bowl winning coach Doug Peterson, and he looks like he's going to get the first interview.
Didn't hear that name.
Former Eagles head coach Doug Peterson looks like he's going to get the first interview because I'm pretty sure he's unemployed right now. No, is he on a staff at the moment?
He's unemployed at the moment, I believe. But I reckon Byron Leftwich would probably be the one that in my head straight away probably be the one I'd look at the very least. And I think. I remember reading somewhere, I thought Tom Brady's come out and gave him some praise as well. So,
he would.
So, which is, I mean, obviously anything like that helps. So, I mean, it's come off to a rocky start, I suppose. Yeah, I did hear about Dan Quinn politely declining it, but which is a
politely declining. That's how I like to put it. Politely declining.
Well, he did. He politely declined it. I thought he was very polite about it. He said no, but yes, but no thanks, or something along that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think it was a bit of a thanks but no thanks kind of deal. So, and that's fair enough. Like if he's got his cushy gig now at Dallas, they're Super Bowl contenders. So. That's where he'd sort of want to be at the moment. I'd sort of talked about, we said about Miami before, like, you know, not being the best, but their true test is coming up this week, you know, the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, they've beat some pretty poor teams along the way, in this 7-game winning streak. I'd like to see them, you know, get a win over a known team, instead of, you know, poor divisional opponents or the New York Giants or Carolina. You know, the team that's the surprising win out of their seven is Baltimore at full strength.
Yeah.
So I think the Dolphins, they may be able to squeeze into a playoff spot, but that's a loaded, you know, that's a bit of a loaded division at the moment, you know, with the Bills and the Patriots sort of streaking away a little bit, so they're still going to be hard pressed to try and squeeze their way into a wild card game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think, I mean, all for naught really. When there's certain, and I know we'll talk about this next, there's certain teams that just are tiers above the teams, especially when we're going to come up against these. You know, and if there's certain NFC and AFC teams that, to me, that are just tiers above other teams, and it doesn't even look close. It's hugely tiered above.
No, that's right. So I've got five from each conference that I think could be contenders, and you have more than that.
I know. I had eight total, is what I was saying. I had eight total, so I've got less than you, but I'm sure I can come up with. I can come up with two more, but.
I've just got five from each conference that I think have a real shot.
Are we saying this in AFC then NFC, or are we mixing it together?
Either or. Go by conference.
Okay. Well, if we're going by conference, then let's start at the NFC because we both have NFC teams.
The NFC is loaded.
Well, that's right. I mean, the first two straight away is the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, they're two top tier teams, like streaks above everybody else. I think there's probably another one or two, but I'll talk about them later. But those two teams, you know, the Packers are still doing what Packers are doing, and the Bucks, while they've had a couple of the sketchy losses, they're still the Buccaneers, and they still can be full strength a little bit later. Their wide receiver corps may be the issue, but I still think they're still contenders. They have to be.
No, they're absolutely contenders. But the only thing that sort of worries me a little bit is, yeah, it's a total contrast to their Super Bowl run last year. They were getting healthy, and they were playing well at the back end of the season. This year, they're not so healthy. And look, you know, while they're beating the teams that they need to beat, they probably should have beaten the Saints, but they didn't beat them. They're looking a little bit shaky. Like, you know, if Mike Evans can come back, he's been on the COVID list. He had a hamstring injury in that Saints game. Chris Godwin's done for the season. Fournette's on the IR, so he's done for at least the rest of the regular season. So they're going to have to rely on Ronald Jones. Shaq Barrett is out for the next 2 weeks. You know, coming out of that Carolina game, he's got like an ACL and an MCL sprain in his knee. So that hurts them defensively a little bit. Their secondary has been decimated all year. Mm-hmm. So that's a little concerning. Look, they still had Antonio Brown there this week. They didn't really use Gronk as much as what you would think that they could have used him against Carolina this week. I think he only had one catch for 23 yards. So they need to spread the wealth around a little bit more. But it's Tom Brady, so they're right. Always going to be there. What are they? 11-4. So they'll still be looking for that top seed and the bye, because that will help them a lot.
That's the key. But I honestly think it'll be Green Bay personally. I think Green Bay should get that top tier first round bye. And if we're going five teams, genuine NFC contenders, I've got to put my Dallas Cowboys in there. I think they have to be. I think they've got enough weapons, and their guys are coming back healthy just at the right time, at the absolute right time. So
a confidence boosting shellacking of a divisional opponent this week will definitely buoy the spirits.
Yeah. And then they need to beat Arizona just to prove something.
No, that's right. And you know, like we said before, Arizona are floundering a little bit. So that could be a turnaround game for them.
And that's where it gets interesting to me. So I'd throw my fourth team I had down. I had Los Angeles Rams. I just think a Sean McVay coach team with Cooper Kupp, and as long as they get over Matt Stafford's interceptions, they're still in good stead.
If Stafford can sort of find the form and the joy that he was playing with at the start of the season, because man, he was having some fun at the start of the season with Matthew Stafford.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it was just that little bit of weight lifted off the shoulders of being shed of that Detroit Lions jersey. They came down to earth a little bit throughout the middle of the season. Starting to get into form at the right end of the season.
And a fifth team, it'd be a toss-up between, I'd have to probably sneak ahead the 49ers at the moment, although they lost last week. But I'd even have to sort of throw the Philadelphia Eagles in there, who look, they're on a three-game winning streak.
Philadelphia. With their bye included in there, that didn't lose at all in December.
No, that's exactly right. I just my concern with them is I only really would put the 49ers a shade in front of them is purely because I think they have better weapons if they can figure out Jimmy G. That's the only thing.
I would think that would be more of a solid choice. Philadelphia, if they come up against some of those big gun teams, do they have enough points in them?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because
they seem to be able to rack up points against the poor teams, but when they come up against the big guns, they generally
wilt
a little bit.
So that'd be my five NFC teams. What about you?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't really include Philadelphia or San Francisco. I think that would be a very lucky sort of runs. You know, the five that I have, with Dallas, the Rams, the Cardinals, Green Bay, and Tampa. They're your real.
Honestly, after what I've seen in their three losses in a row, I can't put Cardinals in there. Even at 10-5, I can't put them in there.
You've seen at the start of the CEO, you've seen that they can turn it around. Like, they'll be in a wild card, because if they can't win their next couple of games, then they've lost three and the Rams have won their last
four. They will be in a wild card,
but they'll be in a wild card game, so they'll be fighting for their lives. So that they could get knocked off by one of these lower wild card teams.
They missed D Hop massively.
Oh, big time.
Huge. It's a
big difference. They missed James Conner as well.
Yeah, I know. I just think D Hop. So yeah, you're right. But D Hop is just a huge difference.
You can't replace DeAndre Hopkins.
And that's why I can't put him in there. I don't know. I thought the AFC to me felt a little bit easier. I mean, the Chiefs. These are the two tiers. They had the one tier at the above. The Chiefs, the Titans, I still have there. The Colts, the Bengals. I'll start again. I had the Bengals might be an iffy, but I definitely have the Chiefs. I definitely have the Bills. I have to throw the Pats in there, which makes me sick. And I have to throw the Titans in there. The one toss-up would be between the Bengals and the Colts, but I like the Colts team more.
I would trust in what the Colts have been a lot more consistent as of late, so I would trust in what the Colts have got going for them at the moment. They're almost like their divisional opponent in Tennessee. You know what's coming, but it's near impossible to stop.
That'd probably be my fifth. I don't know if I can trust. I mean, Bengals have been a surprise pack, but I don't know if I can trust them as a Super Bowl contender. I mean, really,
I don't trust at the moment. I don't trust any of those AFC North teams.
Well, no, you're right. And at a pinch, you probably couldn't even really technically trust Tennessee either. I think I'd trust the Pats over Tennessee personally.
Oh, just yeah, no, absolutely I would. Yeah, absolutely. Even if Tennessee is a divisional winner, like whoever gets drawn in their part of the draw and who plays them and has to go to Tennessee, I don't think they're going to hold any fear, in going into Tennessee, even if Derrick Henry's back, because he's not going to have the reps there. So I don't think any of those, those wild card teams that could slip in the AFC would fear going into Tennessee.
No, that's exactly right. The Chiefs are just the only one that I could see that could go against them would be the Bills. But I just think the Chiefs at the moment are doing Chief-like things again, aren't they?
Chiefs are just in supreme confidence mood at the moment, and it's a scary prospect that, coming into this part of the season, like their final two, their final two games, they're away games. They're at Cincinnati and they're at Denver. So that game shouldn't hold too much fear for them. But I think going into Cincinnati, I think that might be a little bit of a danger game. Like I said, they're riding an 8-game win streak. Is it one of those situations where it's a loss that has to be had? Just to sort of bring them back to earth a little bit, because boy, they are playing with supreme confidence at the moment.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. So that'd be. The rest is just, even their wild cards could. Well, they'll just be all crapshoots, really.
That's they'll be luck of the draw. So it's you don't really trust any teams outside of those few. So. Buffalo and New England, like that division's going to come down to the wire, obviously. New England has sort of, faltered a little bit and lost two straight. So I don't think Belichick, especially after what did they win? They won seven on the trot before they've lost these two. So, they've lost their way a little bit. I'm sure that they will, they should be able to sort of piece things together.
My concern with them, they might be a contender, but I don't see at the moment of what I've seen this year of him, as credible as he's been, I don't think Mac Jones is going to lead you into a Super Bowl. I just don't see that.
No, because, look, he looked very flustered this week, and, the couple of interceptions that he threw were pretty poor. So when you can get him under pressure, which is like most rookie quarterbacks, but Nothing cures the ails like welcoming into Gillette Stadium the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's who they've got to welcome into New England this next week, and then the week after that they're at the Miami Dolphins, which for some crazy reason they really have a poor record as of late, even with Tom Brady going down to Miami this late in the season and winning. So
as a divisional rival, have the win in them. They do have a
especially as of late.
No, they'll get the wild card. I see the Bills now winning that division personally. So I think that's sort of sewn up. So
well, what have the Bills got in the next couple of weeks then? So they must have the Jets. Then. If we can get some.
I think they do.
Get some internet happening here. We get some technology on the run. We're cruising. I actually have some working technology this week, which is fantastic. The Bills. See, Buffalo's got two home games. They welcome in the Atlanta Falcons, which they should pummel the crap out of them. And the Jets take the road up to Western New York. So that should be. I think that they would. They should. I don't think that they're going to wilter in any of those two games like that. Yeah, they would be extremely poor losses if they lost to any of the the Jets.
This was the one they needed to beat the Pats to get this division, and they beat them, and this is it. I think they've won the division. So that is it as well for us in this NFL pod.
Good little clean up at the end there.
Yeah, it was a good little clean up. Don't forget to follow all our socials. As always, Twitter at Final Play Pod, Facebook's Final Play Podcast, where you'll get all the links to all our podcasts, including well, I'm always going to mention gimco.com.au and Eureka Sports Cars, but that's not linked for anybody. Like, you'd have to go on the website, correct? They're not linked together.
No, that's right. Yeah, they're a separate entity. So if you want to go through those guys, like, they've got we've got our regular listeners that listen to us through the Gimco site. So that's fairly popular. Yeah, they're pretty active on Twitter and
shout out to all them then.
No, that's right. Absolutely. Like, yeah, the faithful at gimco.com.au. So, yeah, they're a completely separate entity. You can listen to our podcasts straight off that website, or you can download them off that website and listen to them at a later date. Same sort of thing with Spotify and SoundCloud as well. It doesn't eat up much data. I think they only burn about 30. 35 megs.
They're nothing. They're 15 and 30 megabytes, so they're nothing.
Yeah. They're absolutely tiny. Those guys are great at Gimco. Wish all those guys there a safe and prosperous new year. We've basically hit 2022 now, so we're into the new year now, so I think everybody's looking forward to putting 2021 behind us, and
hopefully 2022.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, my name's have a good week then, everyone, because my name is Jason. Going to cure my ale, Smith.
I'm going to cure my ales with a little bit of old school PSP action. So I'm Miles, going to play Madden 08 on my PSP.
Nice. That is awesome. Oh my god! Just send me some record shots. I forgot about that one.
Oh, it's even on that platform. Who's, it's awesome. It's really good.
Who's the bell cow before we go on that? Surely there's a bell cow.
For me, I just play as the Saints,
wasn't there one guy back then? I thought that just decimated everybody. Would you say 98 or 08?
No, 08. Pretty sure Brett Favre's on the cover of this one.
I don't know if Michael Vick.
I think he might be.
Is one of those 08 or 09, I can't remember, but like if you had Michael Vick, just you're never gonna beat him because he just dominated. It was absolutely ridiculous.
I got Drew Brees. I got Deuce McAllister. I'm quite content.
Yeah, nice. Man, the old PSP. Have a good week, everyone.
Great platform. Gotta love it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
See you.